And you know what? If this seems odd to you, if it seems odd that the fate of the cosmos can rest on the ordinary actions of ordinary people, then you know what? That Hideous Strength is going to be the oddest novel you ever read. That Hideous Strength is the third novel in the Space Trilogy. And in this novel, Lewis offers us an apocalyptic battle between angels and demons. But this battle is not disguised as a science fiction fantasy, as it is in Out of the Silent Planet. It's not even disguised as a Miltonic theodicy, as in Perelandra. Rather, it comes to us in the form of a realistic, domestic novel. And that's what makes it so strange. The protagonists of That Hideous Strength are neither priests nor prophets. Rather, they are an average, rather unhappy, petty bourgeois couple named Mark and Jane Studdock, the last characters you would expect in an apocalyptic good versus evil novel. Let me introduce you to our characters. Mark is a sociologist who desperately wants to enter the elite circle of his academic colleagues and who is willing to sacrifice friends and family to do so. Unfortunately, he is a type we recognize. Jane, on the other hand, is a frustrated, childless, proto-feminist working on a PhD thesis on Dunn, who resents her husband's authority and freedom and just wants to be left alone. And actually, Lewis identifies more with Jane in the novel than Mark. There's a bit of Lewis in both characters, but he identifies more with Jane in his desire to just be left alone. I've got to mention something funny here. Many people don't know this, but Lewis never went on to get a PhD. He thought PhDs were a waste of time. He thought there was nothing sillier than writing a thesis on somebody like Dunn that nobody will ever read. Technically, he's not even really Dr. Lewis. He just thought it was a waste of time. He'd rather write books that somebody wanted to read. And I find that kind of interesting as a PhD. All right, let me tell you how the plot works. Through an engrossing mirror image plot structure, Lewis takes his two protagonists, Mark and Jane, on a parallel journey that forces them to choose whom they will serve and what they will believe. And you know what? Their choices not only have personal consequences, but cosmic consequences. Our choices do have ramifications. Let's begin with Mark. Mark's journey carries him into the inner ring of NICE. NICE is a very ironic acronym that stands for the National Institute of Coordinated Experiments. And NICE is a secret society that employs Machiavellian tactics in order to establish an efficient, scientific, omnicompetent state. In other words, the abolition of man, the one where Lewis feared a dystopia controlled by controllers, that the ideas in the abolition of man are embodied fictionally in That Hideous Strength. And so, in one sense, NICE is trying to do what Lewis fears in the abolition of man, establish a totalitarian, dystopic state run by controllers. But here, Lewis is freed by the genre of science fiction, and so Lewis invests his nightmare Orwellian vision with a touch of horror. Because we soon learn that at the core of NICE is not just a desire to conquer nature, but a disgust for the physical body itself. Indeed, the crowning achievement of their anti-humanistic science is the artificial preservation of the bodiless human head of a criminal. It's a head being kept alive by tubes and test tubes and whatnot. Now, the head, as you might guess, is a ghastly symbol of cold, abstract mind severed from warm, living flesh. It's the ultimate end of people that are disgusted by the physical and want only the intellectual, rational, abstract. The head represents that. And we learn that the head actually controls the controllers, who pay it, the head, almost religious worship. But guess what? In actuality, the head and all of NICE is itself controlled by demons. So we sort of move backwards till we get to the real orchestrators of this plot, if you will. And these demons, their hatred of organic life, of individuality, and of human emotion is boundless.